We'd like to continue our journey through the Gospel of John. We'd like to go to John chapter 15, look at the beginning portion of that chapter this evening. And the last verse of John 14, Jesus says, "Arise, let us go hence." Okay? So there's been, this is really an ongoing dialogue from chapters 14 through 16, and then there's a prayer in chapter 17, but it's really an ongoing dialogue, not necessarily a sermon, but a dialogue with some questions that the apostles have asked. And up to this point, this discussion has been taking place in the upper room. But now he says, "Arise, let us go hence." So then, in this portion of scripture, we're going to see this evening that Jesus is talking about a vine and branches and a husbandman. And I think that it's very reasonable to say when he says, "Arise, let us go hence," Jesus always taught object lessons from what was around him. So I want you to envision, they're in the upper room as we conclude John 14. He tells them, "Arise, let us go hence." And then, as they are passing a vineyard, okay, as they are passing vines with branches, that's when he delivers this discussion. Because that's how Jesus taught. He gave object lessons from what was right there. So again, the first portion of John 14, that discussion takes place in the upper room. And now Jesus is teaching them as he's walking with them up to the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? So kind of put that in your mind, that Jesus is walking with them and they are passing a vineyard, I believe. So therefore, as they are walking and talking and passing vineyards, he tells them, John 15 and verse 1, "I am the true vine." Again, as they're looking at, most likely, vines right around them. "I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So here Jesus is teaching the lesson, the object lesson, that he is the true vine. That in many places in Scripture, God presents the kingdom of God in the church as a vineyard. Jesus is the true vine, and the Father is the husbandman of that vineyard. So, what is it that comes out of the vine? Well, branches come off of the vine. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Notice in verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." So, why does somebody plant a vineyard? Do you plant a vineyard for it to die and not bear any fruit?
No.
That's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of land, right? You don't plant a vineyard not to get something from the vineyard. And the expectation is not just that you're going to get some fruit from the vineyard. The expectation is that you will get much fruit from that vineyard. And our Father is glorified when we bear fruit. But notice, He is more glorified when you bear much fruit, right? So we are called, we are created. Our purpose in life is to bring glory and honor to God, to the praise and the glory of His grace. And the way that we bring more glory to God is by bearing much fruit, right? The more fruit we bear, the more glory that God receives, the more fruit you bear in good works, they see a greater quantity of those good works, and they give your Father, which is in heaven, glory. But the more fruit you bear, the more glory the people that witness that give to the Lord, right? Yeah. So the more fruit we bear, the more glory God receives. So therefore, the inverse is true as well. The less fruit that we bear as children of God who are lively parts, lively branches of the true vine, the less fruit we bear, God receives less glory. That's dishonoring. That's dishonoring to the vine. The expectation is that the branches will bring forth fruit, will bring forth much fruit. Let's turn to Luke 13. He gives this picture for us in a parable earlier on. Luke 13, verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And he said to the dresser of the vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years." Again, this is not just an isolated incident. This is a perpetual problem with the vineyard.
Amen.
3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree and found none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? In other words, we could plant something here that's going to bear fruit. I mean, if you're in the business, we're not in an agricultural society as much as we used to be. But, you know, it's not just that you expect fruit. It's that I cannot waste my land on any crop or any vine that does not produce fruit, because I'm dependent upon that bearing fruit to take care of my family, right? So he's saying, I can't waste this parcel of ground. Why cumbereth it the ground? I've got to have something producing fruit to provide for my family on this portion of land that I own. He answered and said unto them, "Lord, let it alone this year, till I dig it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that shall cut it down." And that reminds us that the Lord is always very gracious, right? You know, thankfully you have that person intervene right there and says, "Let's just give this particular vineyard one more chance. Let me fertilize it, let me take care of it, and give it one." And you know what? If it bears fruit, praise God, we'll keep rolling with that. But the Lord says distinctly, if you do that, and you do all of the right things, by the way, this is not just business as usual. We're going out of our way to add a fertilizer. We're going to do everything that's necessary, that if this is a profitable branch, it's going to bear fruit. And if it still doesn't bear fruit, we can't waste that portion of land as a vineyard owner. We got to put something on there that bears fruit. Now, Jesus said, this is in his interactions in the last week of his life going to and from Jerusalem. This is in Mark chapter 11. And it's interesting here that he actually does this physically to a fig tree. He says this in Luke 13 that it's a fig tree, but this is a fig tree. Seeing a fig tree afar off, this is Luke 11 and verse 13, or excuse me, Mark 11 and verse 13. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, and if happily he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And he answered and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. Then they go about their day. And then the next day, verse 20, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. That same fig tree that he condemned the day before was dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Then he gives them an explanation of having faith in God, and we will be fruitful and prosperous if we bear the fruit of faith and we trust in the Lord. But these clearly prove the point. And by the way, you're the exact same way. You plant a vine in a vineyard with the expectation that there's going to be fruit that comes from that, right? And if you don't, just like that man that planted a fig tree, 3 years in a row, I haven't got anything from that. Well, I'm going to have to reevaluate the fruitfulness of this in my vineyard. Now, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Okay, it's very important to understand here. First of all, he's talking to disciples, okay? And notice specifically, these branches are in Christ. Every branch in me. You know, if you walk by a branch that has fallen from a tree, it is evident that that branch at some time must have been attached to the tree for it to physically be a branch, right? Branches don't just create out of thin air, right? Where do branches come from? They come from living trees, and circumstances have arisen where they were broken off from the life-giving sap of that tree, okay? So it is vitally important in this consideration that Jesus is describing here. He's talking to disciples, first of all, but he makes it very clear. Every branch in me. These are branches of Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? If there is a perpetual period where a child of God for an extended period of time continues to continuously rebel against the commandments of the Lord and does not bear fruit, there will be an evaluation of that from the husbandman of the vineyard.
Amen.
Okay? Now, let's skip to verse 6. If a man abide not in me. Now, why is it that they have this whole discussion about abiding in Christ, abiding in the true vine? Well, what happens if you voluntarily, now this doesn't happen in nature, but bear with me in the spiritual application. What happens if a branch voluntarily chooses to remove itself from the life-giving supply of the sap from the tree or from the vine? Well, that branch is going to get unhealthy, right? And the more unhealthy that branch gets, the less fruit it's going to bear. So what he's saying here is abide in me, tap into my life-giving nourishment as the true vine, and if you abide in me, fruit's going to come out naturally.
Amen.
But if we choose to be friends with the world and we choose to stray away from that life-giving fuel of the true vine, then inevitably what's going to happen? That fruit is going to begin to diminish, okay? So fruitfulness is directly connected to abiding in Jesus Christ. Now, that's why he says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me. You know, I think about King Saul so often. He made continual decisions to not abide in the vine. And as he made continual decisions to not abide in the vine, he became more and more, not just not profitable fruit, but his fruit became more fruit of the flesh.
Right.
And not just a diminishment and being dormant, he went the other direction. But he continued to make decisions to not abide in the vine. And he continued to diminish his fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. And there came a time where the Lord said, okay, I'm breaking off this branch for fellowship. Now, all of this is talking about fruitfulness and fellowship in discipleship in the kingdom of God. This has no bearing on eternal salvation.
Right.
Okay? And part of the reason why this is important is because, number one, these branches are in Christ. But notice the judgment. If a man does not abide in me, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. But notice specifically, he's withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You know what they're not cast into? It does not say that God and the angels cast them into hell. It says that men cast them into the fire. And it is our responsibility, it is our obligation as members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to protect the integrity and the health of the vine and of the vineyard.
Amen.
And if someone, it's one thing for someone to be dormant, okay? To be lukewarm. They should not be. They should be revived. But if they are going beyond simply being dormant and bearing fruit that is hurtful to the rest of the vine, it is inevitable that men, there in verse 6, that we do what is necessary to protect the health of the vine and of the vineyard. And there are times where we have to remove, because of people's actions, to remove them from the close fellowship and abiding in the vine in the sense of the kingdom of God. Now notice this language as it says specifically that men cast them into the fire to be burned. Now this is in 1 Corinthians 5. Well, there's a man that is committing an egregious sin, and the church is not only ignoring it, they are proud of the fact of their supposed long-suffering. But notice, he tells them distinctly, you have to deal with this situation. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You got to purge it out to protect the health and the integrity of the whole lump. But notice this language here in 1 Corinthians 5, in verse 5. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That is men casting an unprofitable branch, a destructive branch, into the fire of Satan. And our hope is that their conviction of that will bring them to repentance, and their being, which actually happened with this man, praise the Lord. But we have a responsibility to protect the health of the entire vineyard. And there are times when people bear such destructive and cancerous fruit that we have to do what is hard and what is necessary to protect the health of the entire vineyard and deliver them unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, all of that is a branch in Christ of a temporal judgment. Now, what did he say at the conclusion of what we read in verse 11? I told you these things. Look, he's telling you, abide in my love, abide in my commandments, abide in my word, and abide in me. And if you do these things, your joy may be full. Well, you know what happens if you don't abide in Christ? Your joy is going to be almost empty. Right? So, our commandment, our calling, is branches that have been grafted into the vine of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to bear fruit. And then, So we've had the discussion about those that don't bear fruit and what is necessary from time to time for ourselves and the Lord to deal with those branches that don't bear fruit. Also, he says at the latter half of verse 2 that every branch, notice, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God's in the business of fruit, but he's in the business of more abundant fruit for more abundant glory for him. Okay? And you know what? There's some people that are bearing fruit, but there are circumstances that the Lord suffers to come in our life that teach us needful lessons, that burn away dross, as we're told in the book of Proverbs. Burn away the dross, that the vessel would come out more refined, more meat for the master's use after that purging, after that refining, after that burning away of the dross. And notice the certainty of this. Every branch that beareth fruit. And I know there have been times in my life, I don't think we've ever probably reached the level of bearing fruit that we desire to. But there, I feel like there have been multiple seasons in my life that have been times of purging. And they were necessary. There were things that needed to be purged out. And I hope prior to that I was bearing forth fruit. But I hope in the aftermath of that purging, in the aftermath of that fiery trial, that hopefully that gold comes forth more refined, more pure after the burning away of the dross than they were before. Every branch that bears fruit, what happens is you cut back the vine, right? Y'all know what purging is, right? You cut back the vine. Why? Because if you don't cut it back, its growth will be diminished in the next season. And that's what a good husbandman does, right? A good husbandman wants to make sure, and also that is really in the long-term health of that individual vine as well. If he doesn't cut it back from time to time, its long-term health will be diminished. So what does a good husbandman do? He purges it from time to time. Why? That it would bring forth more fruit in the future. And why is it going to bring forth more fruit? Because it is a healthier branch in the vine. So every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. And there are seasons of purging in our life. There's seasons of purging in our churches.
Amen.
That we might be bringing forth fruit, but there are seasons where we have to burn away the dross, cut off the dead weight, purge those that are not as faithful as they should be by the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit. And our hope in that season of purging is that the end result is that we bring forth more fruit after that than we did before. So seasons of purging are not just beneficial, they are inevitable.
Amen.
Every branch. You know, I think about Job so much. He was bringing forth a lot of fruit, wasn't he? He was bringing forth a lot of fruit. But literally, when he got purged back, he was blessed twice as much in the end, numerically, with possessions, with children. No doubt they saw the way that he responded to this. His esteem in the community went to zero for a period of time, but I think his esteem in the community doubled after that too. When they saw the way that, especially the way that he prayed for his friends that treated him so poorly, I think not only was he monetarily blessed with double, not only was he blessed with the same amount of children in the aftermath of that, I think his reputation in the community doubled as well. He was bringing forth fruit. He was purged back. And literally, the Lord gives us those denominations for a reason. He was blessed twice as much after the purging than he was before. Right? Okay, now let's focus on some things. Let's focus on what, on a daily basis, what abiding in the vine looks like. Okay? Abiding in Jesus Christ looks like. Because that almost sounds like a feeling, right? I mean, that's hard. What are the actions? Abiding in Christ is not a feeling. Well, there are feelings associated with our discipleship. But abiding in Christ is not just an emotion. It's not a feeling. Abiding in Christ is actions.
Amen.
Okay? So what are the actions? What are the actions that are indicative of abiding in the vine? Verse 3. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And notice you are clean. That implies a purification. There is a cleansing. There is a purification that comes from abiding in the Word of God. And if we're going to be fruitful, if we're going to be fruitful in the kingdom, it is of necessity that we abide in the Word of God. Not that we read it casually, not that we only listen to it in settings such as this, that you daily, continually abide in the Word of God. It says in Psalm chapter 1 that the man that forsakes the counsel of the ungodly, that doesn't sit in the seat of scorners or stand in the way of sinners, in the law of the Lord does he meditate day and night. Actually, let's go over there and read that, because that kind of has agricultural language too. I want to get the language that's specifically what it says the outcome of that is. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In his law does he abide. Right? Okay, now what's the effect of that? What's the effect of that? He shall, this is guaranteed, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. What happened with that branch when it was purged off? Or when it was cast off because of its own? It withered. This shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That sounds a lot like much fruit to me, right? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So how is it that we abide in Christ? You need to be abiding in his word, right? You need to be abiding in the scriptures. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. That makes sense, right? You know that as soon as that branch is severed from the connection of that tree, then that branch is just going to, it doesn't have any life in it anymore. It's severed. The branch cannot bear fruit. And once it is by itself, when that branch is by itself, there's not going to be any fruit that comes on that. How is it that we bear fruit at all? By abiding in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. How do we bring forth much fruit? Abiding in Jesus Christ. And this last phrase here in verse 5 is so vitally important. It's vitally important in this discussion, but it is one of the most important truths that we let sink in to our mind and to our heart. For without me, ye can do nothing. And I really like to pair this up with Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? But I would say the best precursor to that is yes, you can do all things through the power of Christ that resides inside of you, the power of faith that resides inside of you. There are things that you can withstand, that you can endure, that you can do, that you never thought that you would have the capacity to do because the power of Christ is working in and through you. But listen, without Christ, you can do nothing. And that is a comprehensive statement. You know, sometimes we like to think we're self-sufficient. And all it takes is a little bit of health problems. All it takes is a little bit of relationship turmoil, of employment problems, of loss of loved ones. There are a tremendous multitude of things that remind us that we are wholly dependent upon the Lord in every area of our life. He says in the book of Acts, "In me you live and move and have your being." Without Jesus, who is the life, you know what there is? Literally, no life, right? So yes, praise God, through the power of Christ, we can do multitudes of things that we never thought we could. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the precursor to that, just like how to get to the richness of amazing grace, you have to start out with total depravity, right? Well, to get to the richness of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the first statement has to be, without Christ, I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, okay? So, we are nothing, we can do nothing without the grace, the tenderness, the mercies, the power, and the strength of Christ.
Amen.
But I can do all things through the power of Christ that works inside of me. Okay, we've already considered verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. He's highlighting the word of God yet again. One of the most vital aspects of us abiding in Jesus Christ is abiding in His Word, not being a casual visitor. Abiding perpetually. Don't treat the Word of God like you do vacation, right? You don't go there a couple times a year. You abide daily and hopefully perpetually in His law, that you meditate day and night. If you abide there, you will bear much fruit. Okay, abiding in Christ, abiding in His Word. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, or literally abide, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So what does Jesus do every day? He abides in the Father's love, right? So if we abide in Christ, what are we abiding in? We're abiding in the Father's love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So abide in the Word of God. Abide in the Word of God. Abide in Christ's love. How many times did He say that right here? Abiding in His love. And how do you abide in love? That's not primarily just a emotional feeling in your heart. You abide in love by actions of sacrificial agape love to others, and particularly to the body of Christ. Abiding in love is not you having a feeling. Abiding in love is you making actions of sacrifice that put someone else's needs above your own. Okay? That's abiding in love. Abiding in His commandments. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, abide in His commandments. Where's His commandments found? In the Word of God, right? And then also notice there in verse 11, abiding in Christ's joy. Abiding in God's joy. And what he's really saying there is just, okay, the fruit of the Spirit. All those ninefold fruit of the Spirit that's in Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn over there and read those real quickly. Those are the attributes of God. Okay? And the reason why we can, if we see these actions exhibited in someone's life, we identify that as the fruit of the Spirit, or literally the fruit of God, or the fruit of Christ. If we see this fruit being exhibited, then that's evidence. If we see this fruit being exhibited, then that's evidence that that branch is part of the vine, right? But these are the attributes of the vine. These are the attributes of God. So therefore, if we're going to abide in Christ, what do we abide in? We abide in love. We abide in joy. We abide in peace. We abide in long-suffering. We abide in gentleness. We abide in goodness. We abide in faith. Vitally important. You abide in faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Amen.
You need to be abiding in faith every day. Abiding in faith. Trusting God. Abiding in faith. Abiding in meekness. And abiding in temperance. You see, we are abiding in Christ, and when we abide in Christ, the fruit comes out. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You see, when we're abiding in the Spirit, when we're abiding in Christ, these are the actions that is called fruit right here, but these are the actions that are public identifiers that we are abiding in Jesus Christ on a daily basis. When you see someone that's acting in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When you see that fruit being exhibited, that's evidence that they're abiding in the vine.
Amen.
Okay? They're abiding in Jesus Christ. And those are all, each of those things are action-oriented. Okay? Even joy. We're thankful to have joy in our heart, but if joy only stays in your heart and your face is still looks like Eeyore, you know, and hey, talk about preaching to the choir. You know, I pretend like I have joy, but, you know, I don't think a lot of my coworkers used to think that when I worked at Starver Utilities, right? I mean, so those, each one of those fruit of the Spirit are action-oriented words. Love is an action-oriented word. Peace is an action. Even joy is an action-oriented word. So we abide in Christ. And furthermore, what did Jesus say? And the last thing. We abide in Christ when we abide in fellowship with His people in the church.
Amen.
Right? Because in so as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You know, this idea that people say, oh, you know, I serve Christ in my own way. Listen, you abide in Christ by abiding in the church.
Amen.
You don't abide in Christ by having your own little fabricated idea of what religion is. You abide in Christ by following the Word of God, which you're supposed to be abiding in anyway, and then that gives you the pattern for how Christ desires to be abided in, right?
Yeah.
So you cannot abide in Christ and be separated from the fellowship of the saints and the church and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and then furthermore, how do you exhibit those actions of abiding in Christ? The primary way that you exhibit that is by these actions to the other members of the vine in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Right? I mean, what did he say back in John 13? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Not by the way you love your enemies, not by the way you love the world. Men are going to know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another.
Amen.
Okay? So we cannot abide in Christ and be separated from the fellowship of the saints.
Amen.
We can't abide in Christ and be separated from the church. Why? Because the main way that we exhibit those actions that exhibit abiding in Christ is by exhibiting those actions to the other members
Amen.
Of the vine and of the body of Christ. Right? So, abiding in Christ, abiding in His Word, abiding in love, abiding in commandments, abiding in all that fruit of the Spirit that we described, but abiding among God's people, abiding in the church, abiding in the kingdom, and we show love to Christ by showing love to His branches in His vineyard because He's the true vine.